Pulse, WV Live, a network that beats to the heart of God. And I am your host, John Fowler, along with Pastor Jay Mace from the Winfield campus of the Pulse Church. Good morning to you.
What up?
You're awful chipper this morning.
Am I?
Wide awake.
I don't feel chipper.
You don't? Did you make coffee today?
I did make coffee. Yeah. Huh. Sam had to drop me off super early because he's got dinner for a funeral and a whole lot of other things going on. So, yeah.
That's pretty awesome that you got a wife that takes care of you.
She's a good girl.
She helps you.
She's a good girl.
You like that background? Can you see it?
Yeah, like a field.
Yeah. We were at, there is a, this was in close to Louisville, Kentucky last week. We were there with John and Stephanie hiking. My headphones are out of whack. Look how goofy that looks. There we go. Well, there it looks better. Looks goofy. Look at that.
I just can't see you this morning.
You can't? Why? Because of the
camouflage.
We're going, Christy and I are headed to Gassaway, Summersville, and then we're going hiking over in Summersville, close to the airport over there.
Nice.
And so you work while you play, you know, because I got a good meeting over there this morning, and so we thought we could work it all out. But, man, I tell you, is not God doing some great things? I mean, it just seems seemed like that things are coming up, and, you know, we want to encourage people to definitely, because I'm going to kind of date this one. It's November 1st of 2024, and we have an election next week. It's on Tuesday. And, man, I tell you, if there's a time in the world right now for you to use discernment, Pastor Wright always says that. Pastor Wright said the thing that's lacking in the church today is discernment. And if there's ever a time to pray for discernment, because no matter how the election goes, this world is going to change as we know it. No matter who gets in, it's going to change as we know it. And so if there's a time for the church to be the church, it's now. You know, I really believe that.
I agree fully. I mean, without getting into politics, I think you hit the nail on the head. Discernment is the key, and the problem with discernment and why I think the church struggles with it so much today is, and it plays right into this narrow road talk, and I didn't mean to do that.
But, no, you're good.
It is a hearing the voice of God and being directed by the voice of God kind of thing.
Yeah.
And that is opposite of our flesh. It's opposite of worldly goals. It's opposite of, you know, all of the things that we see tangibly here and seek and pursue and want to be like and everything else. You know, I had two friends that are on both sides of the presidential decision, and both are very vocal. And we were all together, and I'm thinking, Lord, how'd I get in the middle of this? One made the comment, you know, it was a friendly conversation. It wasn't, you know,
hostile.
The crazy stuff that you see on Facebook and everywhere else. But one person made a comment about the other party's candidate, and then that person made a comment about the other party's candidate, and basically said something to the effect of them not being role models.
All right.
And then it's like they both realized where the conversation was going, so they stopped and they looked at me. And I said, I'm not getting in the middle of this.
Right.
I said, I know who I'm voting for. I know why I'm voting for them. But let's put it this way. I wouldn't be best friends with either one of them.
Right.
I said, neither one of them are someone I would hang out with or spend time with or, you know, pursue the things that I want to pursue, which are kingdom things with. You know, so, you know, for me, this election is fully about the Constitution and fully about doing the things that the way this country was supposed to be founded. It's not about an individual, because I think both individuals will fail us in some way, because that's just humanity.
Right.
And, you know, if we're putting that politician, or if we're putting that image or that figure above the image of Jesus Christ in our life and our pursuits of it, then we've already got our own issues.
Yeah.
And, you know, so I think it plays back to exactly what you said. You know, this should be a matter of discernment. What's God's will?
Right.
What's God's will in this election? Not what your will is, not what, you know, your political party that you have affinity with. You know, what is not what its will is, but what's God's will? And right. are we seeking that, and are we hearing that? And, you know, I think that's, you know, that's a prayer that too few of us pray.
Yeah, and I think it's extremely important that we do pray. I was planning on going out of town next week to Winston-Salem to go down there and work for 2-3 days, and I decided to stay home, because you don't know what's going to happen.
That's true.
And yeah. So, you know, it's like, you don't want to be down south away from home, and, you know, you just have to pray, you know, for what God's will is. Well, I think it leads to, you know, there was a conversation that I had with somebody this past week talking about wood, hay, and stubble in the scripture in 1 Corinthians. It says that, you know, we can go around and we can be busy for God, mm-hmm. and be completely out of his will.
Absolutely.
Yeah. You know, we can be like busy doing what we think is God's will, but it's not. But the Bible tells us that's wood, hay, and stubble instead of precious gems and gold and stone. Then it says that your works will be tried by fire. Mm-hmm. And then if he's not, and I'm paraphrasing, but if he wasn't in what you do, then those works would be burned, but yet the man would be saved, the Bible says.
Yeah.
And so.
That's a good word, John.
It's a powerful thing. And James Ashworth, my mentor back in the 90s, taught me that, because we were doing a lot of traveling. Mm-hmm. We were doing busy. And every time I would see him, I'd say, hey, you know, we're busy doing this. And he always say, Brother John, you know, is this what God's leading for? Because it has to always be what God is leading for.
Yeah.
You know, and many times what we do is we say, well, you know, I'm going to do this, and then say, Lord, bless it.
You know,
we have to be so careful. So it goes
Which what puts us above him?
Yeah.
Right?
Right.
That's elevating ourselves above him.
Yeah.
Here's my will.
Right.
Now, God, you bless it.
Yeah.
And that's not kingdom come
right.
living.
So. Yeah, it's definitely not. And when you look at, we're covering part 3 and part 4, and what I'll do is I'll post the links to both of these in today's podcast, so that you can listen to the whole series so far of The Narrow Road, A Call to Holiness. One of the things that I thought was really intense, and I thought was just like gut punch to the world today and to the church, is if you're living in sin, then are you dead to God? And I thought about that, and I thought, wow, you know, if you live in sin, then, you know, God is not the forefront of your life. Sin is.
Yeah.
And so when you were talking about part 3, you know, of that, you know, why does it seem like that people cannot seem to get victory in their sinful life, but they seem to also be in their self life and dead to God?
Yeah. Well, you know, I think the wages of sin is death.
Yeah.
Right. And we know that's talking about eternal death, or at least we've been taught that that's talking about eternal death. But the reality is, I don't think it's just eternal death. I think it has everything to do with our walking existence in this life, because if our goal is the kingdom of God, if our goal is to live according to the statutes and the premise of heaven, you know, look at what happened in heaven when Lucifer rebelled. I can't talk this morning. When Lucifer rebelled, and glorified himself above God and turned a third of the heavenly hosts with him. What did God do? God kicked him out.
Right.
He didn't kill him.
Right.
Right? But he killed, but you know, it's, I hate to humanize it like this, but you know, being Italian, I watch a lot of Italian based things and everything else. And it was kind of like, you're dead to me, right? Yeah. It's kind of like a God had a you're dead to me moment. You
part
know?
Of the family now.
Yeah, you're not part of the family anymore. and he cast him out, right? And what did he do? He had him roam the earth,
right?
Right. And, or allowed him to roam the earth, not had him roam the earth, because God can't be tempted of evil. But so here he is roaming the earth, and what's he doing now? He's trying to turn us against God in his own rebellion.
Yeah.
And so, you know, our sin, our disobedience, and sometimes we can be a good person, but be a disobedient person.
Yeah.
You know, and I think we have to, you know, when we talk about holiness and when we talk about living a kingdom life, you know, it goes far more than did I say a dirty word today or did I, you know, did I lie today and did I do all of these things? Those are things that, you know, should be removed from our life early on,
right?
Those are things that we should choose God over early on and should be relatively easy spiritually to overcome in our life. If we're exhibiting self-control and we're exhibiting, you know, the fruits of the Spirit, the reality in us is sometimes the biggest loophole in our life is just our disobedience, just our unwillingness to be selfless and put God first.
All right.
And I think you're right. We've got a lot of good people. We got a lot of busy people that are doing good things in the name of the Lord, but they're not really the things, they're not really the sit at his feet kind of things. You know, I think this oversimplifies it, but I think it's exactly what God's purpose for our lives is. What did he tell Mary, who was doing all kinds of work for all the right reasons, right?
Mm-hmm.
From a fleshly standpoint, all the right reasons and everything else. What did he say to her? He's like, Martha, you're encumbered by a lot of stuff I don't care about.
Yeah.
And that's essentially what he said to her.
Right.
You know, you've made yourself busy with a lot of things I don't really care about. Fix me a bologna sandwich and come sit down.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yep.
That's what he cared about. He didn't need a big meal. He didn't need grandiose things. I mean, the dude didn't even have a home.
Right.
Right? I just called Jesus dude. Sorry. I mean, the guy, you know, our Savior didn't even have a home. Yeah. Didn't even have a place to lay his head.
Right.
And he was okay with that.
Right.
Right? Because he was about Father's will.
Yeah.
Right. And so we get absorbed with things and we call them blessings.
Yeah.
Jesus didn't live like that.
No.
You know, Jesus didn't have a home that he called a blessing. He didn't have a car that he called a blessing. He didn't have anything that he called a blessing.
Right.
Right? Most of the things that he had on this earth, he cursed.
That's true.
Most of the things that he had on this earth or the things that fell into his hand on this earth, he gave it away.
Right.
Right? That's his example.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And so when we really stop and think about kingdom living, which, you know, if people haven't picked up on it by now, you know, that's the crux of holy living, is kingdom living.
Right.
You know, good living, having a good report, having you know, good character, all of those things matter, and all of those things I think a child of God should have and develop in their life. But that's not necessarily kingdom living. Right. You can be a good person by the world standards,
mm-hmm.
and not persecute your flesh,
yeah.
and live for the kingdom of heaven. And, you know, and I think that's where the church, and especially the Western church, fails. And right. And I've said that a lot lately. And you know what's really pierced my heart with it is our friend Stephen, who may be watching this morning. Good morning, Stephen, if you are. Our friend Stephen Mayende, if I'm saying that right.
Yes.
You know, he's praying over bricks.
Yeah.
That he can build a room from the dirt up.
Right.
That he can bring children in and protect and teach Jesus Christ to.
Yeah.
He's not worried about big homes, and he's not worried about big cars, and he's not worried about big bank accounts. He's worried about bricks.
Right.
He's praying for bricks.
Yeah. Yeah.
He's blessed by bricks.
Yeah.
So that he can not forbid the children, so that he can accept them into God's purpose and God's will.
Right.
Right? And when I look at that kind of ministry compared to our Western ministries and our Western theologies and our Western thoughts and goals,
yeah.
Man, what we preach here won't preach there.
Wow.
You know?
The prosperity message, so to speak.
Any and all of it. I mean, prosperity, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, if I try to go to his church and preach prosperity,
right?
They're going to be looking around going like, where's yeah. Jesus?
Yeah.
You know? Because that's not the Jesus they know.
Right.
Right? Because they're praying for bricks.
Right.
Bricks. I mean, does that hit anybody
yeah.
the way it hits me? And you know, we go to other places. You know, they're praying for clean water.
Yeah.
They're praying for clean water.
Yeah.
Right? And so I just really feel like
spoiled.
We have westernized God. And we have missed the roots of the early church in our faith.
Yeah.
And in our living. And, you know, so when I really take a hard look at holiness, that's where I go back to, John, is I go back to these men that gave up their lives on earth.
Right.
So that they could live his life in earth.
Wow.
And, you know, when you look at God's will in that way, I think it causes you to walk away from a lot of stupidity and yes. a lot of dumb things that we try to make the rock of our salvation, and it was never intended to be the rock of our salvation.
Right. Wow. That's a great word. That is, because, you know, when it goes back to, and I'm not trying to plug yesterday's podcast, but I did one. It was entitled Walking in Victory is Your Responsibility. And I thought about that along with the next question. Do we blame the enemy when it was our own disobedience?
I think we do. And I think we do because we're so far off mission.
Right.
As I was just kind of lining out. And I think, you know, sometimes I think God causes grandiose not to happen for in our lives and in the church's lives to keep us abased,
right?
So that he's the center,
right?
Right, because anytime that we walk in abundance, it is so much easier to lose hold of him,
yeah.
Right? It is so much easier not to be diligent and fervent in our prayers. Right, it's so much easier to be selfish in what I want,
right?
Right, rather than the will of God, right? And so I think a lot of times, you know, and we'll blame the devil for it. Ah, look what the devil's doing to me, or look what the devil's done. Maybe it's not the devil.
Yeah,
you know, maybe it's God saying, whoa, 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 I need you to turn your attention back to me,
right,
and not from the devil. Right? Right, because what you're doing now isn't benefiting the kingdom. What you're speaking now isn't benefiting the kingdom, and I want no part of it. So I'm slowing your roll.
Yeah.
So that hopefully you find me and you find the purpose that I have for your life again, instead of this made up purpose that you've put my name to that I don't want any part of.
Right.
And I really think sometimes God does it that way. And I think, you know, that's why we need to live. I mean, you can see ego a mile away.
Yeah.
Right. You can see ego a mile away, whether it's in the pulpit, whether it's in the pew, whether it's in the grocery store, right?
Highway.
You can
you
sense
see it all the time there.
You can sense and discern ego a mile away,
yeah.
Right? And that's disobedience,
right?
You know
it is.
You know, deny. We're called to, Jesus said, and I go back to this a lot. Because really, it's his first real stomp your foot moment with the disciples. You wanna follow after me?
Yeah.
You wanna follow after me? I mean, you can almost hear the Italian coming out in it, right? I know. He's Jewish, right?
That's
I get it.
Hysterical.
I get it. And everything else, but you can almost hear the attitude, right? And coming out of it, you wanna follow me?
Yeah.
Because you're not doing it the way I need you to do it.
Right.
Right. Isn't that what he said to
yeah.
it? I'm paraphrasing,
yeah. Oh,
but
yeah, no,
isn't that
no.
what he said to us?
Yeah.
You want to follow me? You really want to follow me? Yeah. Yeah, I told you to follow me, but you want to follow me?
Yeah.
What's the first thing we got to do? Deny ourselves.
Yeah. And follow me. That's what he
said. That's the words of Jesus. You want to follow after me?
Yeah.
Deny yourself.
All right.
Right? And I think we do a really poor job of it.
It's today. Like people, is it the fact is that we think we're denying ourselves, but we're not.
Well, we give up. We live in such, you called it spoiled, but we live in such, I call it, I guess, spoiled and self-absorbed are the same thing. But we live in such a self-absorbed mindset.
Yeah.
You know, we're not praying for bricks, right? We're praying for new cars and we're praying for new jobs and you know, we're praying for all of these stuff, right? Mm-hmm. That true children of God, true apostles walking and bringing everything into the light, children of God would never think of praying for.
Wow.
I see zero evidence.
Mm-hmm.
Of any of the apostles ever praying for money.
Yeah.
I see zero evidence of any apostles praying for worldly gain,
mm-hmm.
of any stature. All they wanted to do was the same thing Jesus did, and that was promote the kingdom of heaven and preach Christ crucified.
Right.
Which is what they were told to do.
Right.
Right? And they struggled with it.
Mm-hmm.
They struggled with it all the way through the Gospels.
Right.
Until they were converted. Just what Jesus said to Peter in the upper room, right? Until you, when once you're converted, mm-hmm. when you're converted, right?
Right.
And I think it's a moment. And you know Peter lost himself in that command.
Yeah.
You know, when you're converted, you know, build my church, right? And so when they had their moment on the shore. You know, what did Jesus say? Feed my lambs.
Yeah.
Feed my sheep.
Right.
Right? That's the order. That's the command. That's the mission.
Right.
That's the goal.
Right. Right.
And so I think, you know, to answer that question, I forget how you phrased it again, but to answer that question, we're just so daggum absorbed with things that God doesn't care about.
Right.
He just doesn't care.
Right.
Right? And we think he does. We've been taught that he does. We've been conditioned that he does.
Mm-hmm.
But if you go back to the element of Scripture and the life of Christ and those that were the closest to him, the apostles, right?
Right.
Not a single one of them prayed for the crap we pray for.
Right. You know, there was a scene in Chosen, and I don't remember what season it was, but I remember all the disciples everybody walking, and it's a shot about like what we have in the green screen here, going through a field, and they're all, and they haven't eaten for a couple of days,
mm-hmm.
and they look. And they look like a bunch of misfits.
They are.
I mean, yeah, they look like. And I looked at Christy and I said, you know, I said, if that was today, we would call that a cult.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, because, and I'm not discrediting Jesus by any means.
Right.
But if we looked at that in today's society and we saw a bunch of people walking around dirty, mm-hmm. not taking care of themselves, living in tents and all this kind of stuff, following a man, which. And it's like, we would definitely call it a cult. And I thought, man, I told Christy, I said, if he looked at me and said, you know, come and follow me, I don't know how I would respond.
Well, I would look at the teachings.
Yeah. Did I say that wrong?
There's definitely some cults out there.
Oh, yeah, there are.
And some really, I've had people sending me parts of messages and things that, that people are part of now, and I'm just like, that's scary teaching. But
I mean, do you understand what I mean?
No, I know.
And
exactly
I'm not discrediting.
I mean. Well, and
but,
I think,
but
for me,
I think the scene was like,
oh, I remember
wow,
it was when he got kicked out of the temple.
Yeah,
and they were leaving, and Peter was talking, and just kind of naturally reached over and grabbed some and started eating it, and then there was like. Oh crap! I shouldn't have done that. And he started spitting it out.
Yeah.
And Jesus says it's okay. And then they came and
right. Everybody started
even
eating.
Kicked him out of. Everyone started eating, but then the Pharisees came and even kicked him out of there. So,
and
yeah,
I don't mean
no,
that
so
disrespectful.
I know,
at
no,
all.
No, no, no. I know exactly what you mean. And for me, that was the moment. I mean, I was brought up very traditional. I was brought up very legalistic, and a lot of ways, good people. Good people. So when I say legalistic, and when I say religious. I am not attacking their character.
Yeah.
Okay? I'm not attacking their character. Good people.
Right.
But very westernized people.
Right.
Right? People who found worth in what we wore to church or what we should wear mm-hmm. to church. Right? And you know, I don't wear jeans and hoodies to church to be rebellious. Right. I don't wear jeans and hoodies to church or whatever I happen to wear to, you know, attack religion, right? Because then I'm caught up in myself anyway, and I'm bringing a spirit of rebellion into the church, and that's not proper either. But I don't do it for those reasons, right?
Right.
And unfortunately, that's what a lot of people look at and do. A lot of people look at, you know, churches like ours that doesn't have this formal dress code or whatever.
Right.
You know, they look at us as being rebellious. I'm not being rebellious at all.
Right.
I'm just realizing that stuff doesn't matter.
Right.
At a kingdom level.
Yeah.
Right. And I want to touch people the way Jesus touched people.
Right.
Right. So I don't want them walking into my church and looking at my suit and looking at my tie and looking at my cufflinks and looking at my polished shoes and looking at all of that and thinking, here's the kicker, John.
Yeah.
I don't want them thinking that's what a Christian looks like.
Gotcha.
Right?
Yeah.
I don't want them to perceive they got to be like me, dress like me, in order to have the anointing and the blessings.
Right.
Right? The spiritual blessings. I'm not talking about earthly blessings. I care less about earthly blessings. Spiritual blessings that I have.
Right.
Right? Because here's the reality. If my heart is right, and I'm attuned with God, I've studied to show myself approved, and I've done all of the things to... You know, that he expects of me to do fleshly, to gain and learn kingdom things and everything else, I'm going to be anointed whether I'm in a t-shirt and a pair of holy blue jeans or whether I'm in a custom suit.
Right.
Right? His anointing is going to fall on me regardless of the other. The clothes, in my opinion, in the Western church,
right.
has everything to do with touching lives. And making myself relatable to people who need what I've got.
Right.
Right? And you know, if I'm doing it to be rebellious, God doesn't need that.
No.
God doesn't care about that, right?
Right?
That's the wrong message.
Right.
It's the wrong message, right? It's the wrong heart. It's the wrong intent. Right. It's the wrong attitude. You know,
yeah.
Get it away from me, right? And so, you know, God would kick that away. No. Stop.
Right.
Stop. That doesn't represent me.
That's good.
You know, but your ability to relate to someone that all they might have to put on and show up at church on Sunday morning is a t-shirt and a pair of shorts or a pair of jeans that looks like, you know, they've been through the mill,
right,
or whatever. That's what Jesus needs from me,
right,
and you and those of us that are called to carry the gospel.
Yeah.
Right. That's what he needs. And you know, and I think we've missed the point, right?
Yeah.
We've come to a place where we understand God doesn't need a 3-piece Armani suit,
right,
to minister the gospel. I think we've come to that,
right,
understanding, but I think we've missed the real reason why.
Yeah.
It's about people. It's not about me. It's not about the church. It's not about a mission statement. It's about people, man. Right? And it's about touching and changing their lives. That's the kingdom mission, right? And we are so off mission.
There was a couple weeks ago, one of our, Sam Wayne, one of the teachers of the Connect groups on Sunday morning decided that we're hitting the streets. Mm. And so we went out from 10 to 11 and just, if somebody was on the street, we'd pray for them.
Yeah.
You know, and then there was this one fella that was deaf, and Barb Mathey knows sign language.
Oh, wonderful.
And so, and I see this guy walking up down the street all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And so she was able to speak to him. And then 2 weeks ago, he showed up at church. And so
Beautiful.
She interpreted the whole sermon.
Beautiful.
And she told me, mm-hmm, she said, she looked at me afterwards and she said, and you're preaching on the devil and you're preaching on spirits and all this kind of stuff. She said, I don't know if he'll come back. but I told her, I said, well, I said, it just happened to be that kind of sermon.
Yeah.
But she was interpreting, you know, the whole time. And is that, I mean, the world, I mean, it's like, okay, we want this low hanging fruit in the church today that looks a certain way.
Mm-hmm.
But that's stereotyping the other church that may be reaching all the influential rich people.
Yeah.
But what about the ones who may not look?
Right.
You know, what about them? The ones that people will throw their nose
at.
And
that's where Jesus worked.
Yeah.
That's where the apostles worked.
And we were downtown, man, and it was
crazy. They didn't work
crazy
in the high places. They were actually refused of the high places.
Right.
You know, they worked in the streets, and they worked, you know, among the less desirables.
Yeah.
You know, and we turn our noses up at that. We might not do it noticeably.
Right.
You know, but we turn our noses up at it. And I think Jesus is highly disappointed with that. And I think, and that's why, you know, I've referred to the Western Church a few times, because, you know, watching the progress, brick by brick, progress that our brother Stephen has had,
yeah,
has really spoke to me.
That's,
you know,
so awesome.
You know, I'm out here worried about how I'm going to keep 30 to 40 teens in a room big enough for them.
All right.
And he just wants enough bricks to put a roof over these kids' heads so he can teach them about Jesus.
Yeah.
You know, and so I just... You know, I just think we are, we're so off mission so many times that we miss the boat.
Well, when we get into part four now, we are meant to be pushed out of this world and our own flesh.
Yeah.
It's like God wants us. I personally think that, I mean, just like for me, Is it okay to live uncomfortable? Is it okay to live? I mean, that's where faith comes in. It's like, man, sometimes it's like, you know, it's like, I'm not sure about this, or I'm not sure about that. And you've got to really pray about that, or you're seeking God here. And sometimes there's, in me, I'm not always comfortable. Mm-hmm. And I hate that, you know, because I like.
You mean comfortable from a fleshly standpoint?
Yeah, like, yeah. I like, you know, when I personally, and I'm saying I, so I can tell you that that's a problem, you know, with that. But I love seeing, like, okay, that's in order. This is in order. That's in order. This is right. Everything's in order. But, and I know you have to have order, but there's a lot of times there's not.
Yeah.
And it's like, those are the most uncomfortable times for me.
Yeah.
But it's like, okay, I'm pushing you out, you know, do like Olivia said, and I carry this with me. This is my life a lot of times. I'm being stretched. Yeah. And a rubber band is no good if it's not being stretched. And it's like, I don't know if you can say this over the last 7 years of and almost working on eight with the Pulse Church, but I live my life a lot like this.
Yeah, amen.
And this is uncomfortable for me.
Yeah. Well, here's what I do in that, and you're exactly right. I mean, we're always stretched.
Yeah.
And if we're not being stretched, you know, then we're probably not denying ourselves.
Yeah, I'd right? just like to have one day off. Just one
yeah,
day.
For real. But, you know, when I feel the most stretched, you know, people say to me all the time, I don't know how you do what you do. I don't know how, you know, you have yeah. the energy to do what you do and everything else like that. And here's what I've always responded to that. When I'm walking in the will of God and in a kingdom mindset, I don't get tired, John.
Right.
I truly don't.
I know.
Right? People might think that's hogwash. They might think Jay's bragging. They might think whatever. I don't. When I am fully walking, and I might sleep good at night, right?
Oh, I guarantee
because you know, the body needs rest.
Oh, yeah.
But I don't get tired. Right. I don't get, you know, exhausted. I don't get overwhelmed by the responsibility.
Right.
When I start to feel it, that's when I normally, and I've learned this over the years. I didn't know it early on, but I've learned over the years, when I start to feel the effects physically,
mm-hmm.
I have to take a step back and say, okay, what's not spiritual here?
Yeah.
What's not God's will here? What am I grabbing hold of that has me in chaos,
mm-hmm.
right? Because there should be peace.
Yeah.
Right? What does Jesus promise? He promises peace,
yes.
Right? Promises joy, promises all of these things in his presence. So if there's any chaos whatsoever, that's not of him. So where's it at? You know, is it in this? Is it in this thinking and praying I've been doing? Do I need to just abolish that? Mm-hmm. Is it in this new initiative that we're doing? And you know, what is it?
Yeah.
What's not it? What's creating the lack of peace
right.
here? And I have to search that out, have to pray that out, have to fast that out a lot of times,
right.
and everything else to make sure that I'm aligned with the will of God. And you know, that's the whole deny yourself, you know, and seek ye first the kingdom of heaven kind of mindset,
right?
Because otherwise, we'll just please the flesh in that.
Oh, yeah.
I'll quit this, I'll quit this, I'll quit this, I'll quit this, and I'll just hold myself up in my own little preferred existence.
Right.
Rather than being stretched.
Right.
Right? Because that's what happens when we're stretched and we don't like it, we'll serve the flesh.
Yeah.
Okay, so I'll minimize the stretching, I'll bring myself back to a comfortable place, and I'll stay right here. And what happens? You give up growth.
Yeah,
you know, you give up learning, you know, you give up discernment, you know, you give up the gospel mission, right? Because you're not preaching the gospel, right? Oh. Things of growth, and they would teach you this in business, but I think it's absolutely applicable to spiritual living and kingdom living, right? Things of God are meant to stretch us. I mean, look at the gospels. Right? The Gospels are nothing but the examples of God stretching people
right.
away from the things of the world and into that kingdom come mindset. And so, you know, I think as we do that, the things of our flesh have less and less hold on us. They have less and less effect on us. Yeah. And you know, when Satan gets to a point that he's like, oh, gosh, I can no longer influence them in the flesh, right? Then all he can really do is put obstacles in our way. You know, it's like we have a goal of getting in the community and doing prayer walks and everything else. And I mean, literally the week before we're going to do it, every time something catastrophic happens.
Right.
You know, and it keeps us from getting there and doing it. And I don't think, you know, that's not affliction.
Right.
That's just the enemy putting obstacles in our way. And when you've graduated from fleshly attacks from the enemy to obstacle attacks from the enemy, then you're on the right road.
And you have to be able to discern that.
You do.
Because a lot of times, I know that there was, you know, and this whole thing came from taking it to the streets. You remember the old Doobie Brothers song, Taking It to the Streets?
Yeah.
And that's a great song. Yeah. I've actually played that at the end of a church service
when
I preached that, you know.
Lord have mercy, Baptist would put you in hell today for something like that. Yeah.
That's so funny. But
I love my Baptist friends. I'm not being mean.
He's not being mean. But, you know, one thing that Megan...
But you know you would.
Oh, yeah. one thing Megan did was she stood there at Go-Mart. Instead of, you know, she was evangelizing at Go-Mart, and she was saying, let me fill your gas tank up.
I've done that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And she was doing that for a while. Yeah. And then this one guy comes over and he says, what are you doing? She said, well, I'm filling up gas, you know, and then he went to the early service wherever he was and gives her $50. Mm-hmm. So she actually spent money, but made it back. People gave her money back. It was like crazy.
Well, Bob goes...
This is crazy.
Bob goes every Tuesday morning, every other Tuesday morning, to the store to, you know, buy the milk and the bread and the things like that that we can't keep in the on the shelves for our food pantry. And he goes to buy that. And there's a guy that has been in there a couple of times that has paid for it.
Really?
Well, now this guy comes in knowing when he's going to be there. This guy comes in and waits for him.
Really?
And oftentimes, not every time, but oftentimes, you know, pays for the groceries that day, which allows Bob then to go back and get other things.
Right.
You know, that he normally wouldn't be able to include in part of what we give the families that come in. So,
and that's so good.
You know, and you can't, you know, I know it's cliche. We've heard it all of our lives. But in those scenarios, you can't outgive God.
Right.
But yeah, I've done that. I've been standing there pumping my gas, and somebody will pull up at the pump beside me or behind me, and I'll hear them talking. Well, just put $20 in to get us till payday.
Yeah.
And everything else like that. And so while the guy goes in or the girl goes in to pay for it, I walk over there and I just start pushing the button and I'll swipe it and put the credit card in. And he's like, whoa, you know, what are you doing? Paying for your gas. Fill it up.
Yeah.
He's like, well, I said, don't say anything to her. Don't say anything to anybody else. Fill your car up,
right?
And praise the Lord for it. And then I just walk away. I just walk away. Yeah. And you know, and that's not a pat on me. I don't selfie myself while I'm doing it or anything else like that. But
get your microphone there.
Oh, sorry.
No, you're good.
You know, I don't. You know, I don't want it to be about
do
me.
The selfie with it.
Yeah, I want it to be about God.
Right.
You know, I just look. I said, no, praise the Lord for it.
Yeah.
Praise the Lord for it.
That's
you know,
good.
Because I want God to minister in that moment. I don't want it to be about me. I want God to minister in that moment. I want them to drive down the road thinking, man, is God here? You know, is God reaching out to us in some way? I want them to have that moment. Now, if they follow me and because God convicts them or God moves on them and wants prayer, absolutely, I'm going to stop and do that. But as far as paying for the gas, I don't want any glory for that. I don't want the church to have any glory for that. I don't want that. I'm just helping someone in a moment the way that I think Jesus would.
And that's where the church should be, is outside the four walls doing that. You know, even when they're not instructed by you or not instructed by somebody within the church, you're doing it because you feel led of the Lord to do it. And I just think that's probably that leads to the next thing. It's like, are we focused on Jesus, and is he the main thing in your life? You know, if he is, then then many times you will be buying the groceries of the people ahead of you, or you'll be putting the gas in the car with no, you know, with no selfie and that kind of thing. And you know, things that, you know.
And here's the thing with that, John, just to grab onto that point, not to cut you off, but
no, you can.
Just pay attention.
Yeah.
Listen. Right. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like the examples I just gave you. Right.
Right.
I'm not eavesdropping. I'm not being nosy.
Right.
But I feel like God's given me an ear to hear.
Yeah.
So I need to hear. God's given me eyes to see. So I need to see. And I need to see and I need to hear on his level, not my level.
Yeah.
Right. You know, because God forbid I would stand at that gas pump and think, well, if you'd get your butt to work and, you know, you blah, 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 and you know, because now what am I? I'm self-righteous.
Yeah.
I'm religious, right?
Right?
If I'm thinking like that, if I'm operating like that, right, I have now transgressed the opportunity and made it about me, right?
Gotcha.
Which makes me very, very self-absorbed and very religious and so forth. But, you know, Jesus walking down the road, you know, Jesus, thou son of David, if you can heal me, right?
Right.
It's no different.
Right.
Right? It's no different, right? And you know, Jesus could have walked on by. Jesus, because it's not my problem.
Right.
Right? You should have thought about this, or you should have
lived a better life,
or eaten better, or bathed better. You know, he could have had a self-righteous response to that. But what did he do? He said, I can.
Yeah.
I can, right? I can't save you, you know, but I can fill your gas tank up and tell you to thank Jesus for it.
Yeah.
You know, and so I think our position, our fleshly position, has everything to do with the power of God and discernment of God working in our lives, right? Right. If I am self-righteous and everything in my approach to living, in my approach to other people, in my approach to God, and everything I do comes from a position of my worth.
Yeah.
Then, man, we've never really denied ourselves. We are operating as religious entities greater than we can fathom we are.
Right.
And you know, so I think, you know, to get back to your point, it is about driving that flesh out. It's seeing and hearing the way Jesus would and responding the way Jesus would, not the way my self-righteous flesh would. And, you know, so I think, you know, I think that's important. And I'll just share this for someone out there that might be thinking, you know, well, how can I do this and everything else? Maybe I don't have the money to pay for someone's gas, okay? And understandable. You know what one of my favorite things to do is when I'm standing, I have an asthma pill that I get. So if I'm at the pharmacy and I'm waiting to pick up my pills for the month or whatever, to see a senior citizen stand up there, can you just give me half?
Because I can't.
Can you just give me half? And everything, I said, no. Give him the whole thing. I'll take care of it.
Wow.
Right? Nothing blesses me more than to be able to bless
someone
older like that and everything else. And I'm not saying that for me. I'm saying that for you.
Right.
You know, look and listen and look for opportunities to bless someone.
Awesome. When you look at the final question here, faith, or maybe a statement, but it works both ways. Faith doesn't work if you try to make your own decisions. It must be God's way. It's got to be God's way.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, because now you're in control.
Yeah.
Right? Now you're in control, and that doesn't work.
Yeah.
Because even at our best, we're filthy rags. Right.
Yeah.
That verse alone should take self-righteousness and ego and all of
all
that
of
away
it.
From us, right?
Yeah.
Even at our best, right? We're filthy rags.
Yeah.
Right? And you know, and that's okay.
Yeah.
Right? Because God wants the best. right? He wants us to grow. He wants us to persecute the flesh and become like him and, you know, allow him to lead our lives.
Right.
Right? If you want to bring all things into the light, right, start with yourself.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. I mean, start with yourself. Turn your own light bulb on before you're starting to turn somebody else's light bulb on.
Right.
Reveal your own inadequacies before you try to help someone else with theirs. And I think when we're not in that place, we're operating from flesh,
right,
and we're not operating from a kingdom. From a kingdom place.
I have a friend of mine that we don't see him that often, but when we do, it's always a lot of fun. And Christy says, hey, such and such wants us to come over and have dinner. And I'm thinking, oh, man. I have to, because this guy,
Did they watch the show? You might want to be careful.
No,
okay.
I don't think he does. Right. He eats me up. eats me up. He's critical. He's this. He's just messing with me. But he's like, oh, it's like, so I told Christy, I said, I think I'm in a good spot to go there. I think I am. And that's the way I feel about this show. Not like that, but when we get together and it's like, you always challenge me. And it's like, man, I hope Jay cancels today because I don't think I'm good for it. I can't take it today.
Yeah.
No, I don't do that. But what I'm saying
is. Oh, it's me?
No.
Oh, you want me to cancel?
No, this is another. This is the way I relate to this guy, to you on Fridays.
I got you.
It's like, because, I mean, it's like, I don't know if I can take it, man, because, I mean, it's just like you challenge me so much. I mean, I'm saying that in a positive way, but it's like, man, I tell you, you do. I mean, it's like I walk away from here with gold nuggets of thinking, well, I've blown it and I haven't even started yet.
It's never meant that
I know way. It's not. But,
you know, I challenge myself greater than I challenge anyone else.
Because I have the utmost respect and regards, and I'm thinking up to you, and I'm thinking I got to have help, you know, and to get better. And that's why I listen to your messages on Sunday, because I want to be better and you challenge me. And I appreciate that.
I do too, man. I mean, you know, the Bible tells us to meditate on his word day and night.
Yeah.
You know, and why? Because that's God.
Right.
Right. I mean, yeah, we're supposed to enter our closet and, yeah, we're supposed to do all of these things, right? But if we don't go into those things,
mm-hmm.
pray and fast, absolutely. Jesus says you don't have this power, this ability because you don't pray and fast. All of those things are scriptural.
Yeah.
All of those things are needful. But if I'm not reading the word, I don't really know who God is, right? And so what am I doing? I'm now entering my closet with who?
Yourself.
Yeah. I'm entering my closet with myself because myself is all I know.
Because
I'm not learning who God is by his word. You know, if I pray and fast, you know, without meditating on the word day and night, what am I now doing?
Right.
I'm now praying and fasting with who? Myself.
Yourself.
Right? So you know, Jamie actually said this perfectly at the end of our service last week, you know, that it absolutely has to have the word of God.
Right.
It has to start and end there.
Yeah.
Because that's God.
Mm-hmm.
Right? God isn't this thing up here, right?
Right?
And it isn't this thing up here. And man, I love the Holy Spirit and I love the works of the Spirit that he does in my life. Amen. But I can never liken myself to that level of spirituality if I'm not in his word and becoming like him. Because those things don't manifest in unclean vessels.
Right.
They manifest. They don't manifest in the flesh.
Yeah.
They don't manifest in someone who's trying.
Right.
Right? They manifest in someone who's walking in the fruits of the Spirit or the fruits of walking with God.
Right.
Right?
Wow.
That's where those things fall down. I'm all for them falling down. And if anyone misunderstands, because I had some questions about the message Sunday. If anyone thinks I'm anti-spiritual gifts, they don't know me very well. I am all for spiritual gifts, but I want you to do it the right way.
Yeah.
And I want it to fall down from heaven. Right. I don't want it to be something that you manipulate and that's something you could. Because have you ever noticed, you got that person who says nothing until after.
And then it's the complaint.
God told me you were going to do that.
Yeah.
God said this was going to happen.
Right.
You know, God told me when we were in the car on the way here, this was going to happen this morning. Right. Why didn't you tell me that before service?
Right.
I know. Why didn't you tell me that before service so that we could bear witness and a real fall from heaven happen? Or did you just realize it after? You know? And I'm not mocking.
I guess I am.
But I don't mean to mock and I don't mean to attack anyone personally in that. But people have learned how to manipulate it.
Right.
Right? For their fleshly purposes.
Right.
So that they appear the way they want to appear. Right? Yeah. I'm not interested in tomfoolery.
Right.
In the pulpit or anywhere else.
Right.
I want people who are genuinely seeking God.
Right.
And God is genuinely revealing himself to them.
Yeah.
And they step into greater works.
Right.
It's all promised. It's all a promise to us.
Right.
Right? But man, get it the right way. Quit faking it.
Right.
And get it the right way. Right. Right? You can have it. You don't have to fake it. You can have it.
Right.
Right? And that's what we don't understand.
Right.
Right? The problem is we don't want to make the sacrifices to get it. Yeah. So we'll fake it.
I had somebody in a prayer line one time. They came to me and they said, I want you to pray because I just want more of God. And I said, I'm not doing that. I literally looked at the person and said, I'm not doing that. I said, that's on you.
Yeah.
I wouldn't do it.
Probably handed him a Bible.
Yeah. It's like, I'm not doing that.
Prayer answered.
I mean, how can you do that? I mean, it's just like, yes, I want more of God. Just pray that. You know, it's like, okay, I'm going to pray it on you. And it's like, I'm not doing that. And the person knew me and laughed.
Yeah.
And said, okay, I get it.
Yeah. And I had someone come up to me and say, I want you to pray so that I fall out in the spirit.
No lie.
I said, you know what? When you want me to pray for the spirit of God to move on you and not for what people see, come back and I'll pray.
Right.
And...
yeah, the gifts get goofy sometimes.
They got mad at me. Yeah, because we don't understand them.
Yeah.
And we don't understand them because we're not in God's word.
Yeah.
You know? And, you know, I made a statement in week three. I know we're trying to wrap up. But you know, there's been some conversation with this while we're here. I feel like it's a good time to clarify it. I made a statement in week three, kind of baiting the line and throwing it out there, knowing what was coming in week four.
Right.
I made a statement in week three that had to do with people trying to operate in the works of the Spirit without walking in the fruits of the Spirit.
That's good.
And so forth. And so I got all kinds of questions, good questions. I didn't get any argumentative, self-absorbed conversations from this. Right. I'm sure those probably were out there, but they just didn't have the guts to reach out.
Right.
But and if you're listening, yes, I said that. but
that's funny.
But had good conversations, you know, astute conversations, growing type conversations from it and everything else. And so that's why we walked through the scriptures that we did this past Sunday instead of moving on to the next thing. I just went back and picked up. So this is really more like 3 and 3B what this is rather than 4. But because 4 is completely different, but I just didn't feel like leaving on that cliffhanger.
Right.
Paul says to us, right, that we can have all of these things and just be sound, clinging brass.
Yeah.
Right. We can, and you know, Sunday during the message, I'm like over there banging on the cymbal.
All right.
Right. You know, oh, I went and did this.
Right.
You know, oh, I went in my closet and did this. Yeah. You know, oh, I fed the hungry.
Right.
Right. And what did Paul say? You can do all of these things, but if you don't have love, it means nothing to me.
Nothing.
It means nothing. Right?
Right.
Shouldn't that bring us all down a notch?
Yeah.
Right? Shouldn't, you know, when we've preached the most anointed, fire-filled message, when we've prayed over someone and they've received healing, when God has moved on us in the gifts of the Spirit and things have happened of a heavenly nature,
mm-hmm.
right? And for us to take a step back and realize, was it in love? Because if it wasn't in love, it means nothing to me.
It means nothing.
Right?
And love is?
God.
Yeah.
God is love. Yeah. And so shouldn't that make us all take a really hard step back?
Right.
And examine our Christianity. Examine our spirituality. Right?
Right.
And so from that, you know, if I'm not, you know, we want to manifest all of these things. Let's start manifesting love.
Yeah.
You want to manifest something?
And that's lacked in the church today.
Yeah. You want to manifest something? Manifest love.
Right.
You want to manifest something? Manifest peace.
Right.
You want to manifest something? Manifest long-suffering.
Right. Yeah, long-suffering.
Yeah. Right? Fruits of the Spirit.
Right.
Right? It's not downplaying the gifts of the Spirit.
Right, it's a fruit of it.
But I guarantee you, you walk in the fruits of the Spirit, those gifts will fall down on you.
That's good.
In a major way.
That's powerful. Right?
Don't put the cart before the horse.
Yeah.
Right? Walk in the fruits of the Spirit. Walk in love. Seek it. Pursue it. Why? Because that's how the kingdom operates.
Yeah.
Right? And so if you're walking there, if you're living there, if your mentality and your spirit is all caught up in the things of God,
right.
the things of God aren't all of this grandiose stuff that we've accepted and believed. What are the things of God? Love, peace, joy, long-suffering, sure. temperance, you know, and so on. And,
that's so
you know,
good.
When we operate in the fruits, right, yeah. I guarantee you, the gifts will start falling.
Yeah, that's so good. That is so good. What do you tell that person that's going through it today that's, you know, having trouble getting it right, tripping over their self, maybe not even saved, maybe backslidden? You know, as you look into the camera, what do you tell that person today?
Let God love you, because he does. And so often, you know, we live in a culture that teaches you to love yourself. I don't think that's what we're really searching, but I think the culture doesn't understand God's love enough to communicate this the right way. I think what should really be said to you is let God love you. Let God love you. Bring all the stuff to him. Bring all of the pain. Bring all of the hurt. Bring all of the shame. Bring all of those things to him and the sins and the disobedience that's behind them. And let him free you of that. Confess it to him. Tell him, Lord, I'm this. Lord, I'm depressed, and I'm depressed because of this. Lord, I'm angry, and I'm angry because of this. Lord, I'm judgmental, and I'm judgmental because of this. Bring it to him. Be honest with him. He already knows. Be honest with him. Be honest with yourself. And you know what you're going to find there? You're not going to find hate. You're not going to find condemnation. You're not going to find a snub nose if you're really coming to God. You're going to find love. He's going to love you as only he can love you. And then find a church that makes its principle the love of God and the person of Jesus Christ. Because that church will love you like he does. Amen. They might not be perfect. Because remember, everyone in a church is trying to get to the same place, right? Some are further along than others, and some are making messes while others are cleaning it up. But the reality is we're all trying to get to that loving center and that loving place of Jesus Christ. So find people that will love you and you can love them while you walk together to get there. And I guarantee you it'll change your life.
It's a powerful statement, Pastor Jay. Thanks for being a part of the Pulse WV Live, a network that beats to the heart of God. Three different ways that you could give to this ministry. You could text the word PULSE to 1-304-244-3187. Go to thepulsechurch.com and check out the website while you're there and give through PayPal. Or you can mail your love gift to this address, 5368 State Route 34, Winfield, West Virginia, 25213. It's on the screen. Have a great day, everybody. Thanks for listening and watching the Pulse WV Live, a network that beats to the heart of God.